Well, as you can see, it is, in fact, the Christmas season. And I know the Christmas season started, about 15 minutes after Halloween this year. It's okay now. Whether or not we were doing this before Thanksgiving or whenever, but it's officially okay to come out. And now when you're at the stores, you can say Merry Christmas to people, and hey, have a Merry Christmas and all that. And I want to challenge us to be people, to be Merry Christmas people. Let's not be Happy Holidays people. Let's be Merry Christmas people, can we? Can we be Merry Christmas? Because we believe in Jesus Christ. And we don't just believe that he was a historical figure, but we believe that he is the Savior of the world. And he should be honored as such. And if people don't celebrate Christmas because of they don't believe in Christ, not because of, historically it might have been this or by the, but if they're just of some other religion, let's say, and it could be offensive for them to hear about our Savior. How about this? Why don't we think about it as a testimony to the fact that we believe he's real, and if they would like to discuss that, we are open for business, shall we? How about that? I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just trying to say, this is what I believe. And I'm not trying to offend you, but if you have any questions whatsoever, A, I want you to know I believe this. And maybe we can open a dialogue based on the fact that I believe it. I believe it enough to where I'm willing to be labeled as an offensive person. I'm willing to be labeled whatever I've got to be labeled to stand up and say, this is what I believe. Maybe we can discuss that. Maybe we can talk about it. So it is. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's beginning, the stores, the halls are getting decked, and the chestnuts are getting roasted, and the stockings are getting hung by the chimney with care and all that. It's starting to look a lot like Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I, for one, am happy about that. There's two things I'm specifically happy about. And that is, A, our Christmas decorations are up and completed. And that's the worst day of the year at our house, because there's a lot of yelling, there's a lot of hiding, and Vic is the one yelling, and we are the ones hiding from her because we don't like doing that at all, not one bit. And it's got to get done. We get it, and we all love it when it's up, but it's one of those things, the Christmas, the pictures that you have at Christmas where the kids are sitting there and they're all, Denning knows what I'm talking about here. The kids are all smiling in the Christmas picture. And 3 minutes before that picture, there was crying and there was yelling and there was, you get over to, It's just like those pictures on the beach, when you have your Christmas or your beach picture. And everybody's all smiles and they're white and they're khaki or they're whatever. And they're all just smiling, Right before that was snapped, you better smile. Smile. Don't you make that, you smile. No. Okay. Right there. Right. Nope. Okay. Great. Oh, that's going to be great. We've all been there. But, so that's done. Now we just sit and look at the tree and enjoy the Christmas. But the problem is that so much else gets in the way of what it is that we have an opportunity to celebrate. And that's that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and that we have a Savior, and that we are saved, and we're saved for a reason. The more that I I study and move in my understanding of God and my experience of God through whether it's study or prayer or meditation or whatever, the more that I realize that that salvation, that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is our Savior, isn't really the whole point of any of it. Salvation's not the point. A relationship with God is the point. Salvation is just the means through which we have that relationship with God. And so this is an opportunity that we have to celebrate the means through which we have a relationship with the God of heaven and earth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 15, as Hyatt just read, he says that we thank God for this indescribable gift, this unspeakable gift, this gift that he gives us, the gift that is the opportunity to have a relationship with Him. Because as we know that on our own, we are unable to have that. We're unable to procure it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. It is, by all reason and all accounts, by all descriptions of the Bible, it is a gift that is given to us. And the Christmas season is a season of giving. You know, as we are experiencing, you know, this whole month, and it's all about the, you know, the stores and the shopping and the Black Friday and the my goodness, I mean, can we all agree that our prayers? I mean, that next year, and I hope that we do that again, where we have a season of prayer. Let's pray for the hearts and the minds of the citizens of a Christian nation who would spend a day thanking and reminiscing about all that we have to be thankful for, and then as soon as we're done eating, go out and trample one another for discounted merchandise. I mean, that's talk about needing the prayers of a people who understand what life is about. But this season, you know, with the stores, it's all about buying stuff, but it's the season of giving. We're buying those gifts. We're procuring that stuff for a reason, because it's the season of giving. And the fact of the matter is that the reason that it's the season of giving is because God is the original giver. God invented giving. God, He paved the way as a giver. And so this morning, as we go through this Christmas season, I want to start out by talking about godly guidelines to be a good giver. Because God, being the original giver, the one who kind of instituted this whole thing. Let me get to, you know, God gave Adam and Eve the garden. And when that went bad, God gave them a piece of skin from an innocent animal to replace the temporary coverings that they had. God gave Noah a plan. He gave him the strength. He gave him the Holy Spirit to help him to provide this ark that would save his household when judgment came. God gave Sarah a precious miracle child in her old age. God gave the Israelites possession of a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave prophets to lead His people and to tell them of the amazing things that were to come. God gave the Scripture to prophesy of a Messiah who would deliver us, who would save us into a relationship with Him. God gave shepherds to pronounce the coming of the Messiah. God gave wise men a star to lead them to this young child. God gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange circumstances of his wife-to-be and the fact that she was going to have a child. God gave the world the Prince of Peace. And God gave Jesus the place of sinners on the cross. So God's paved the way as a giver. And so as we go through this, as we go through this Christmas season, giving gifts, it's one thing to just be a gift giver. But this year, I want us to be people who are godly givers. who follow the godly example. Surely God is a great giver, and we can learn a lot from Him. The first thing that I want us to look at is we're going to be godly givers, and the guidelines that He has given us is that it's got to be personal. Whatever gift we give, make it personal. John tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That He gave His one and only Son, whether you memorized it from the King James, the New King James, the NIV, whatever. It says that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, His one and only Son, anyone who believes in Him can have everlasting life or can have eternal life, or anyone who believes in Him will not perish. You know, one of the things that in any translation that you read that in any interpretation of Scripture that you read that verse in, you know the one thing that never changes? I mean, the way that they describe, the way that those interpret the descriptive words of Jesus, you know, His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, and that word begotten has been, dissected and tried to be defined a lot of different... You know the one word that doesn't change? His. God gave His one and only Son. You see, for God, giving is personal. Giving, and it's not personal to the individual that's getting, it's personal to the individual who's giving. You know, the mark of a good giver is someone who gives something that's personal to them. Whatever we do this Christmas season, can we be people who think about, who ponder and have relationships enough with those that we are giving to, that the gift that we give is a personal gift, not necessarily for them, but from us. And that's the pattern that God has established, is that gift giving, first and foremost, has to be relational. It has to be, for it to matter, for it to bring have any weight, it's got to be relational. And that's the personal matter of it. The personal reality is that it matters to me. I want to give you something of myself. It's got to be personal. Otherwise, it's just an activity. And we've all had gifts like that, haven't we, that are just, you can just tell, well, you just got me this because you're supposed to give me something. And that leads me to the second point, is that not only does this have to be personal, not only does a good godly gift is personal from the giver, thought out, intentional, but make it practical. And I'm not talking like the, practical, like, it's got to be socks and underpants, We're not talking that kind of practical. It's like, husbands, whatever you do, don't give vacuum cleaners for Christmas this year. I know that's a practical gift. I know that's a gift that's needed, but that's a horrible idea. But make it practical. Look with me in John chapter 4. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In John 4 and about verse 10, we're going to look at a story. And this is Jesus talking to the woman at the well, a woman who just coincidentally just so happened to show up at the well the time that Jesus just so happened. You want to talk about the providence of God. This is one of those providential passages where all of the planets align for this random lady to show up when Jesus was there. And in John 4 and 10, you've got let's start in verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Because they didn't associate with one another. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, I can't think of anything that's more practical in the lives of people than living water. You see, what Jesus is showing us, the example that he's giving us, is that it isn't just an exercise in doing something. It's an exercise in knowing what it is that this person really needs, can really use, and is really important to them. And because of the relationship that you have with them, realizing that you need something beyond maybe even what you know that you need. It's the gift of Jesus is so practical that it goes beyond what we ever could even think or imagine. That's what he means when he says, I would give you living water, because she's thinking about, in her mind, she's just thinking about water. She's just thinking about physical thirst. She's just thinking about what's going to get me through this day. But a practical gift, a godly gift, is one that's not going to just necessarily get me through this day, but it's a gift that's going to get me through days to come, when in times when I didn't even realize that gift would come in handy. Now, a lot of this, I want to remain just metaphorical, and I want you to, because there's one thing I want us to do is think about the words of God throughout the week. So what is the practical gift of this living water? What is the practical gift of the gift of Jesus Christ in our life? The practicality of it for us is we think about Jesus. Because of Jesus, we're saved. We get to spend eternity with God in heaven, right? But it goes beyond that. The gift of Jesus goes beyond just going to heaven. You see, the gift of Jesus, it not only does it affect my eternal life, but it affects my right now life. Because the gift of Jesus, because I've got eternal life, it affects decisions that I make in the right now. It affects decisions that I make that on the surface seem like have nothing to do at all with eternity. How in the world do you think that we can suffer in this current life? It's because of Jesus. The practicality of the gift of Jesus is beyond salvation. Jesus empowers us to suffer in the now because we know that our lives transcend our circumstances. That's what I'm talking about. A practical gift is a transcendent gift. It goes beyond what on the surface appears to be the reason for that gift. So as we receive, and what I hope you realize is that this sermon isn't just trying to train us on how to be good givers. It's how to train us on how to really define the gifts that God gives us. It's to open our eyes to the reality of what we get to celebrate. Because the gift of Christ goes far beyond eternity. It affects right now. It's that practical. It's that useful. And the last thing that I want to talk about is that not only is a good gift, not only is a godly gift one that's personal, that is because of a relationship, and not only is it practical, but in our gift giving, make it permanent. And that's going to be hard for us because there's not a whole lot of gifts that we can give one another that will stand the test of eternity. One of the things that I'm glad about as my kids get older is that the things that they want aren't those pieces of plastic that will be torn up the day, late, like 4 hours later. You remember those gifts? You get your kids and like, oh, this is great. And they buy and they open it up and then, like, hey, where'd you, oh, yeah, that broke. And you're like, oh, great. I'm glad I stood in line for that. But making it permanent. John 10:28 tells us that what Jesus offers us is eternal life. And that eternal life starts now. And that, you know, as I think about the gifts that we give one another, the, you know, there was a husband who was giving his wife this present for Christmas. And it was, you know, this 4-carat diamond ring. I mean, a beautiful, sparkling, gorgeous ring. And he was telling his friends about it. He says, yeah, I got her this big, giant diamond ring. And his friend said, well, I thought your wife said that she wanted one of those new fancy SUVs for Christmas. She didn't want a, you know, jewelry. She wanted a new SUV for Christmas. And he said, yeah, but where am I going to find a fake Jeep? See, our gifts, we really don't have a whole lot of opportunity to give the permanent gift, this gift that's going to last forever. But again, as we think about the permanence of the gift that God has given us, it goes beyond the later. And one of the things that I want us to realize this Christmas season, if we're going to make it through this, is that eternal life, the eternal life that John speaks of in John 10, and I wanted to read this, but it just John 10 and 28, it says, starting in 25, I did tell you, but you don't believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you not believe me because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. I love that. I love that visual imagery. My sheep will never perish, and no one can take them away from me. Do you know what that verse tells us? That God gives us eternal life. And it starts now. It's happening now. We're experiencing eternal life right now. Not that our physical bodies will never die, but that we know that because of the gift that God has given, the personal, the practical, the very real gift of Jesus Christ, that we are experiencing eternal life now. And like I said, it's not that our bodies won't die, because they will. But what experiencing eternal life now does is it changes our perspective on everything. So we don't have to fight for the right now. We don't have to stampede for discounted this or that, because we have eternal life. And when we have eternal life, then we're not clamoring and fighting and jockeying for position and comfort and all of those things now, because we have eternal life. We're not, you know, our circumstances don't define us. Eternity does. A relationship with God does. So this is the direction that I want to go this Christmas as we talk about this whole gift-giving idea. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And I hope that that's a reality for us. I hope that in our life that every day we could say, you know, it more and more it's looking like Christmas. More and more, every single day, and December 26th and January the 4th and, you know, March the 17th, it's beginning to look more and more like Christmas, because we realize the very personal, relational nature of the gifts that God gives us. We realize the very practical, transcendent practicality of the gifts that God gives us. And we realize that it's permanent. It's not later, it's permanent. And it's now. This morning, I want to invite you to experience the gift. Experience the gift that God has given us. Experience the gift of Christmas, maybe in a way that you never have before. Maybe in a confessing Christ as Lord and Savior kind of way. Maybe in a way of accepting that personal, practical, permanent gift through the waters of baptism. To be ushered into that permanent eternal life that starts right now. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. this Christmas season. Dan's going to come up right now. He's going to lead us in a closing or an invitation song. And that's the time that you're invited to come up. And if there's anything that you need to be prayed with, prayed for, if you want to make that confession and make Christ your Savior, you can do it now. And this Christmas season, what I want for us is to be people who understand the transcendent nature of the gift of God together as we stand and as we sing.